Welcome to the podcast Career Connections with the HR Insider, where we teach you how to stay, flow, or go in your career with your host, Barbara Mason, bringing you 20 years of the inside scoop and what really matters in your career. Our passion is helping you find yours.
Welcome to another episode of Career Connections with the HR Insider. I am so excited today because today we're doing an episode for working moms. And how do you have it all? How do you have an amazing career and be an amazing mom at the same time? And I think that this episode will touch many of you that are trying to balance motherhood and being a great professional. And so today I'm not having this conversation alone. I actually have brought in three amazing women, but they are also three of my friends. So it's going to be a fun episode. So make sure you got you some popcorn, you have something in your hand, something to drink and just enjoy and learn at the same time. So I have three guests here with me today. And so I'm going to let them tell them about you the best way that they can. I want them to share with you how many children they have, what ages they are. So we kind of have a foundation to begin. And so I'll start off for those that may be new to my podcast. I am a working mom. I have two children, age 17, a daughter that's a senior in high school. So she's on her way to college. And then we also have a son who will be 13, probably by the time this airs. So he's just a few weeks away from being age 13. So in my house, we're in the teenage years. But I'll kick it off to our first amazing lady. And so the first amazing guest that I want to bring to the stage today is Shamir. And Shamir is going to tell you all about where she lives, how she's rocking being a mom and a wife, and a professional, and tell you how many kids she has. So Shamir, tell us where you work, what you do, and all that jazz.
Sure, sure. So I'm Shamir Bernard. I am a diversity, equity, and inclusion program manager for a marketing tech company here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I have two vibrant little boys. My oldest is 3 and my youngest is 1.
Wow. So y'all know she is busy, busy, busy. Absolutely. And so our next guest is Kristen. So Kristen, tell everybody where you're coming from, what you do, and your child situation.
All right. Well, I am Kristen Lampkin. I am a blend of entrepreneurship / corporate woman, mother, and I am a diversity, equity, and inclusion program manager as well. And I work in the car auction industry. So I work for Car Global, and then I have my own business, the HR Guru, and I help professionals and companies elevate their personal brand through their LinkedIn and their resume. And so I love my son. He is two, and he is definitely living that toddler life. I like to describe, and I know that Shamir and the other guests will be able to relate to that. And I live in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I am married to an amazing man. We've been married next year, 10 years. Can't believe that. And so that's another hat that I wear, but I wouldn't change it for anything. And so I'm excited to have this conversation with my girls.
Awesome. Awesome. And then next we have Nicole. And so Nicole, tell us all about where you are, what you do, and about your child.
I am Nicole Mitchell. I'm the Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer with a health system in Los Angeles. So I have beautiful sunny weather most times during the year. And I always use the title, I'm Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer and a working mother. And that's my LinkedIn title as well, because I think it's important to stress that. And it's a big part of who I am. I have an almost 2-year-old. He'll be 2 at the end of this month. And I have another one on the way who I'm due in May with a little girl. So I'll have one of each. Very excited. I am also married. I have known my husband for over 20 years now, but we've only been married for 3. And we are on this fun journey together. And I love the work I do, but I love being a mom too.
Awesome.
So excited to join you.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm so excited. And so today, really, y'all, I'm giving you just really a sneak peek into our conversation as girlfriends and as working moms, because like I said, these are my friends. And I think it's good to just have an open and honest conversation. And I know that as you're listening, you can find yourself in, if not all of us, at least one of us, right? And so we all come from very diverse backgrounds, have children of different ages and doing different things in our career. And so the first thing I want to talk about is at one point we were not mothers, right? So we were working in our career and we did not have children. And so I want to talk about the initial transition. And so when you think about your life now with kids or kid versus before you had children, what word comes to mind to just describe that transition? Anybody?
I can go. I would say that I had to be very intentional. So prior to being a working mom, I could do whatever I wanted to do besides just consult with my husband. Now, when it comes to work and anything that I do personally and professionally, I have to be intentional. And my priorities, which my top priority is God, then my husband and my son. And so I want them to always know that they're my top priorities. No matter what's going on in life, they have to know that they come before anything. And different life experiences made me that way, because what I've learned is that my job could change. They could say, I could be doing amazing work and one day say, hey, well, thank you, Kristen, but we're moving in another direction. But when it comes to my family, I can't get those moments back again.
Great point. Absolutely. Shamir, what about you? When you think about before motherhood and now that you're a mom to two toddler boys, or I would say the 1 year, he's not toddler, he's baby. What word comes to mind to kind of describe the difference in that?
I think that I can relate to Kristen as well. I think in that time frame before motherhood was a time of exploration for me. And even with my husband, we would, you know, plan and plot and go. And, it was a matter of minutes, hours, days. And now the planning requires consultation with the three-nager. And a lot of support from our family to make sure that we are, just mindful about childcare. And much like what Kristen said, you know, the priorities have to be aligned. And they have to always be, you know, at the forefront. Because it's very easy to have so many different, wear so many different hats and get completely sidetracked. And so, absolutely, I think just being very aware of creating a stable environment, whereas before it was just like, oh, free spirit, let's just go. Now it's like, okay, what is the plan and how are we going to get there?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I can certainly relate to that. And you said a key thing about the whole planning, because before kids, I mean, we planned, but it was kind of like, hey, you want to go somewhere? Yeah, let's go. What do you want for dinner? Okay, let's go. Yeah. There was very limited consideration. It was just he and I, right? And after kids, it's a whole ordeal. I mean, just going out to dinner, even, you know, pre-COVID, where do you want to go? Four people have four different tastes. And you're like, huh, but I really am the one paying for it. So you know what? Only two votes count in this, two votes don't. So let's guess which ones do. So definitely. And again, remember, I'm the one who has older children. So of course, when they were, you know, 2 and 1 and looking up to me with their big bright eyes, it was like, oh, you want Chick-fil-A? Oh, okay. Now it's like, get over it. Mom and dad are going here.
Can't wait.
So, it does change. So for those that are listening with older kids, you know what I mean. Absolutely. So Nicole, what about you? What word kind of describes for you the difference between then versus now?
I would say boundaries. I have learned as my career has grown, and there's more responsibilities there, but you know, to both Kristen and Shamir's point of just your family, you want to make sure that they're first. I have had to really be focused on putting boundaries in place around even my family when it's work time, so I can have that separation. But with work, you know, I cut off at a certain time. I try really hard not to answer emails on weekends. And with my community work, putting boundaries in place there has been really critical for me to balance everything. That was not something that I had to think about before. If you wanted me at a weekend event, no problem. I'd be there. I'd be the first person to go. And, you know, to everyone's point, the travel and not planning and caring, not that I didn't care, but I didn't have to plan as much. But boundaries are the big thing for me. And that's something I continue to work on as I evolve too.
Yeah, all good stuff. All good stuff. Planning, being intentional, setting boundaries. That definitely can describe, you know, then versus now, if you remember back to when you didn't have kids versus when you did. So let's talk about when you first decided or saw that you were about to have a child, whichever one was your situation, right? So what did you think that initial, those initial moments, how did you think it would impact your career? And so I'll kind of talk a little bit first. My husband and I, we planned to have children. So we had made this, you know, agreement, for lack of a better term, that we wanted to be married 5 years before we had kids. And again, we got married, you know, I had turned 23, like 3 days before my wedding. So fairly young in that sense. And so we did wait, you know, 5 years before we had children. And so it was a more of a plan type of thing. And by the time that I had my daughter, I was already into my, you know, career, you know, the first leg of my career, but I was in a role where I was traveling a lot and I enjoyed it, you know, and my husband had a very demanding job at the time and he was traveling. And at that point in my career, all I could see was climbing the corporate ladder. And so for me, I was a little bit naive about how motherhood would change me and change my desires for my career. It's almost like I didn't know what I didn't know. And maybe some of you may feel that way as well. And so for me, I was just thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to have this baby. I'm going to go back to work and life is just going to be the same as always. Well, that wasn't necessarily true because internally my desires started to change and I was willing to take a slower route to move up the corporate ladder. Not that I still didn't want to do it, but I was willing to take a much slower route than I did before I had my daughter. And all of a sudden I didn't want to be on the road, you know, 2 and 3 times a week. So for me, personally, I didn't really anticipate the change. And so I would love to hear from some of you in terms of when you were thinking about children or when you found out you were pregnant, how did you think it would impact your career and what was the actual reality?
Yeah, I can weigh in there. So our journey was very different. You know, we were in our mid-30s when we got married and we had just accepted 2 new roles out here in California. So I also know Kristen from my time in Indianapolis. So we were living in Indianapolis, accepted 2 new jobs in California. The company was moving us out here and we road tripped across the country with our dog. So we started jobs on Monday and found out that Saturday that we were expecting. So wow. Little did we know that we left Indianapolis with a surprise. And so we didn't plan that, you know, it was like, hey, we're moving to California. We're going to start this new phase of our lives. We're so excited. We'll think about, you know, little ones in a couple years, maybe. So I didn't have the time to plan, I would say. And it was a surprise for sure. And I had started a new job, right, where I was leading diversity and corporate social responsibility for Kia Motors America. And I was nervous. What does that mean for me? Because this is my first time, you know, leading at that big of a level in this role. And that was important. I love the work I do. And I wanted to continue that. But now I had this little one that was coming in at home. And it did change. So, I'd mentioned boundaries earlier. That's when I started to think about boundaries a little bit more. I left work by 5 every day to make sure I was home to see him. I got in by 9, you know, there was, even though traffic out here is crazy, so there was some driving included. So it was a surprise, but I do think I'm a better mom when I work because of those boundaries and I can have that separation and I get to have kind of my both of my loves, right? My family, and then I can focus that time on work. So that is something that I've realized about myself in this process, as surprising as it was and as nervous as I was of like, what the heck does this mean for my career? I realized that I'm able to juggle both of them, just maybe not perfectly all the time. Right. But I've definitely put those boundaries in place so I can do that and allow me to continue to excel in both.
Wow. What about you, Shamir? What were you thinking when you found out you were pregnant versus, you know, reality, if they were the same or not?
You know, I think that, so when we got pregnant, we were probably about like 4 or 5 months into our marriage. And so first comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage. That's kind of where we were, you know? And so we were at really good, exciting points in our career where things were moving, we were climbing the corporate ladder per se. And I think that we both looked at each other and said, you know, we can do this from a logistical standpoint.
Right.
You know, we're capable of doing this. We're going to be awesome parents. What I hadn't bet on was the emotional shift. Was, you know, I thought I was going to be the mom that was like, yeah, my kid likes backpacking just like I do. Like, let's go climb a mountain. And I remember my cousin telling me, like, that's cute, but your kid's going to get hungry and they're not going to want to do stuff like, you know. And I was just like, well, not my kid.
But
when you say naive, like, and talk about, you know, rainbows and butterflies everywhere, that was me. And I could not have really anticipated the emotional shift that happens when you become a mother and you become responsible for another human life, and like whether they live, whether they eat, and people know that they exist. So you have to do what you're supposed to do. that was one of the aspects that shifted for me. And then, much like what Nicole said, I think my deal breakers changed when it came to career. So whereas before, Saturday, I'm there. You know, San Francisco from Atlanta, I'm there. Now it's like, you know, I don't mind tapping someone else to stand in my place to go, because I have to make sure that, again, that I'm prioritizing.
Yep, very good points. What about you, Krista?
So I was married for, we had been married for 6 or 7 years, right, before we had our first child. And so my husband wanted to have children immediately, but I was like, let's focus on our career and build our marriage. And so he wanted children immediately. And so for me, I was very fortunate that I had mentors. Me and Barbara had several different conversations because at the time, Reggie was working at Target. And so she knew how that schedule was, and she kind of gave me some reality of some things to think about. And I'm so grateful, again, for her sharing those experiences with me and making me think about it, you know, when she thinks about her career. And so I had mentors that kind of shared their journey with me. And so I started peeling back. So anyone that knows me, who's similar to Nicole, they're like, oh, you want to do something? Oh, I'm there. Oh, my friend, like, let's go to the mall. Let's go real quick. Now I got to be like, well, let me get Logan's bag. Let me get this and that. Or, but with work, in all of the other extracurricular things that I used to be involved in, I took off. I only sat on one board. So I removed myself from, I did my, finished my terms out for my boards. And then in terms of work, I was fortunate at the time because my VP was a mother. And so she was very, very much like, okay, coming back to work, easing into it, making sure you have boundaries. It's okay. You know, if I'm not saying this may be your case, you may want to do everything, but don't feel like you have to. You know, the work you've done, you've proven you deserve to be where you're at. So don't feel like you have to do more because now that you're a working mom and people think you're going to do less. And so I had a really good support system in transitioning, which I'm grateful for. But I know that, and we might talk about this a little later, about like also making sure one thing for me was I didn't want to lose Kristen. Because I saw, you know, my mom was an amazing mom, but she took a step back and like stopped doing her desires because she put us first, which I appreciate. But I knew I wanted my child to be like, my mom's at everything, but my mom's a kick-ass mom. Like, she's out there. Sorry, don't cuss on the podcast, but she's a kick-ass mom. She's out there, you know, conquering the world, making a difference, being the change she wants to see. But she is at everything for me. And I remember my mom being there for everything. But I also know that she put her desires on hold. And I know that, not saying she regrets it, but I know that that was something that she wanted to do that she didn't. And I saw that. And I knew that I wanted to make sure I didn't do that for myself.
Yeah, I think that's a really key point. And I'm listening to you guys and I'm thinking, you know, about where the differences are. And I wonder, I think it's different because we're all different people. But I also wonder if when you have kids at a younger age versus an older age, is there a difference? I just wonder. And I'm curious. And certainly, if there's anybody listening, please shoot me a message or a note, because I would love to get feedback. But one of the things Nicole said stood out to me about she gets to do her two loves. And to me, that's a very mature way to look at it. And I'll just be honest, I didn't have that when I first became a mom, because I felt guilty for working many a times, even though I loved it. And so for you to say that and again, you guys can't see Nicole, but I can see her because we're talking virtually. You said it with such confidence and such settlement. And I think that's amazing. And so I want to ask you guys, have you ever felt guilty, you know, for working? And I think some of the listeners may have, because I certainly did. And it took me a process of just, again, having a great support system, having those moments where people say, look at what you're doing and look at what you're giving your kids, you know, and there's no shade for mothers who decide to not work and stay home, because I think there are benefits to doing that. And there are benefits to being a working mom. And I was a working mom. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that I feel like my kids are definitely independent because I worked, because there's some things that you're going to have to fix it on your own. You know, you're 7, you can fix a sandwich, you know, or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. But have you guys ever had those moments where you feel guilty for being a working mom? I'm just curious.
Like every other day.
Yeah.
I might say it with confidence that they're my two loves, but they're also kind of dueling loves, I think, at the same time, right? Like, I love the role I have because I get to impact people's lives and culture and community. And that is so fulfilling for me as a woman and just who I am as a person. But you know, with COVID, this has had a completely different spin where I think that my guilt almost increases a little bit now. Particularly because my son is kind of in like super clingy mommy mode. I don't know if he sees my belly getting bigger and he knows that we're expecting and that priority might shift. But you know, I go into my office. I live about 5 minutes away from my office. I'm thankful I live so close to the hospital, especially in California. That's a huge thing. But I go in there and then I'll get a note. You know, my mother-in-law watches him and I know I could not do what I do without her, you know, being here as a caregiver and taking care of him every day. And she'll be like, he just went to the room and said, my mommy's not here. He got a boo-boo yesterday is a great example. And he ran to the room to come tell me and kiss it and make it better, but I wasn't here. And she like was like, he really needs you. And then that guilt just kind of exploded of like, oh, but I'm really into a really amazing conversation and meeting at work, but I really want to go give my kid a hug and kiss. So I think as confident as it sounds, it's still an ongoing battle for me. I just know that it does make me a better woman and wife and mother that I do get to do both these things. I had somebody recently ask me, so when baby number 2 comes, are you going to stay home? I probably looked at them like, do you know, you all can see my faces, the audience can't, but it was like, do you know who I am? No, I'm not staying home. And it's not because I don't love my children any less, but it's because to Kristen's earlier point, I don't want to lose who I am and what I've worked so hard for, because it allows me to love my children and my husband more. So, but I do, I feel guilty every other day, we'll say, at least.
Okay. That's a good phase. What about you, Kristen or Shamir? Any of you guys have felt or had those guilty moments?
Yes. I think COVID, so I'm working from home. And I started a new job. So prior to starting a new job, Logan was at home from March to July with me, and it was just me and him. And so that was very challenging. He hopped on every single call, like virtual meeting. Hi, it's Logan, you know, so everyone knew Logan. And so I tried to schedule my meetings at nap time, but then that was thrown off. And during that time, I was exhausted. I was on 24 hours because during the day I couldn't work as much because I'm trying to keep him entertained and things of that nature. And his daycare had closed because, you know, during COVID at one point, but they had opened up and I waited 2 months before I sent him back. And I just had guilt because, like, there'd be times Logan would come, he would slap my laptop down. Like, you're done. You're done, mommy. Like, it is about me. And I know, like, my heart would sink and I'd be like, wow, he's right. And I would put it away because I knew that he was like, you're not giving me the attention. And so for me, what I recognize is that he was, although I was worried about COVID, didn't know what was going to happen. He goes to in-home daycare. I knew that he needed to go back to daycare for his sanity and for mine. And it was a difficult decision. Lots of parents, and we've seen it online, shaming people for sending their kids back to school or shaming mothers for doing that and how it's irresponsible and all these things. And I just had to have a moment of thinking about what's going to be best for my family, right? And I think that was like a recent big mommy guilt because he would be slapping down my laptop like every day at a certain time, like, you're done. Or if I'm in the bed and I see myself working and I'm like, no, unplug. So like Nicole said, boundaries was like so essential. What I do now, like with my personal business, I only take calls on certain days. I only work on things on certain times where I know he's at school or he'll be sleeping, because my time with him, I know I'll never get back. That's what someone told me. Barbara told me that too. So she said, enjoy the moments because you'll never get these moments back again. And so I definitely have experienced the mommy guilt. And like Nicole said, it's like every other day. Like sometimes I'm like, okay, am I doing enough? You know, am I doing enough? And is what, you know, but I know, like Nicole, I am not a stay-at-home mom. My mom was a stay-at-home mom the first 10 years of my life, and it was so amazing, but that's not who Kristen is. Kristen, again, is her best self when she's able to pour it to her and be refueled, reset, so that I can give everybody what they need from me.
Great point. Absolutely. What about you, Shamir?
Mommy guilt is real. It's a real thing. When the quarantine started, my husband and I were both working from home. And, you know, my work involves, you know, working with employees and the people teams. And he's an engineer. So we had very different needs as far as office space, like who needs quiet and what times of day do we need to be meeting. And I saw my husband conceding to a lot of my needs a lot just because I had to have more interaction with people. But also my son coming to me and saying, Mommy, I want some learning time, because he just had a thirst to learn. And understanding that he got this from the school that we sent him to, but also realizing like school's closed, so I have to stand in the gap. And so I, you know, much like those dueling lovers, I had to really concede and say, you know, in this season of my life, I'm going to step away. So I took leave. I took leave probably the whole month of May just to kind of reprioritize and, you know, got back into the driver's seat at work and drove through summer and then took leave again. I'm currently on leave. And being okay with that. I think, you know, initially it shifted from mommy guilt to corporate lady guilt, where it was like, wait, like, is corporate passing me by? But I realized that my skill sets, my desires to give, my desires to serve don't begin and end with corporate, and that those are things that are part of who I am. But there are seasons for those. So I think that, you know, again, we only have the time that we have right now, and being able to watch our youngest son grow by each little millimeter has been amazing, because I feel like with our first son, we turned around and he was like, I want this from you. And we were just like, how did you start talking?
Yes.
Whereas with Theory, we're like, oh, he's like searching for words. And I think he said, yes, you know, see, you're able to see those moments. And so I appreciate both being able to, you know, step away from work to spend that time with them and just reassess and understand that the guilt, I think the guilt piece is, you know, because you care. And I think it's that hormonal, like emotional aspect of being a mother. So I'm learning how to appreciate that when it comes to mommy guilt.
Yeah, very good. And I love the fact, you know, that you said that you took leave and that you're okay with that, and knowing when it's time to take a step back, you know. And I think back, you know, through my journey, again, you want to be perfect as a mom, but you can't be perfect. You know, you want to make as many hits as you can, but sometimes you miss. And so I want to just kind of appeal to talking about, you know, some of the mistakes that we've made. And trust me, we're going to talk about solutions, but I think this is such a sensitive topic, at least I know for me, especially when I was younger and being a mom, I would have loved to have had this type of conversation. I feel like all of my friends at that time were much older than, when I say much older, like their kids, it's probably like the difference between you and I, like their kids were older and mine were younger. And so, and then they were older. And so I don't feel like I had a similar set of people going through it at the same time that was feeling the same way. And then at that time, a lot of my friends were staying home with their kids. And so I was one of the few that was had this blazing corporate career. And so I remember a lot of times just feeling very alone and isolated, which made the guilt just heighten tremendously. And so one of the mistakes that I made, and one of the things that Kristen talked about, is that I really lost who I was. And so when I think back over my career and being a mom during that same time, I did lose who I was. And I feel like it's just been within the last 5 years that I have made a focus on who I am as an individual. Not Barbara the mother, not Barbara the corporate executive, or not Barbara the entrepreneur, but just, okay, who, what do I like? And so I want to appeal, if there's anybody out there listening, that you have to have a balance of both. But I would love to hear from some of you guys who have the younger children, you know, already, what is a mistake that you feel like that you've made that you can share, that you wish like, I probably shouldn't have done that or felt that way, or just whatever you want to share.
On to the conversation around leave. One of the biggest mistakes that I made when I became a mother was trying to do everything at 100%. Mm. I wanted to be the best, you know, corporate woman. I wanted to be the best wife. I wanted to be 100% the best mother. And that nearly broke me because I realized that not only was that unrealistic, but placing my goal at perfection did nothing but tear me up. Mm. And so I learned it the hard way. And I think it's a lesson that continues to give and I continue to be reminded of. And I know that, you know, we've got social media. We were just talking about social media and how it's wonderful for connection. And it can be so detrimental when it comes to creating expectations for yourself. So I think, you know, just maintaining a realistic expectation of what you're seeking. And the way that one of my therapists told me is, you don't have to be a good mom. You just have to be good enough.
Mm, that's a whole word.
But you're a perfect mom for your kids, no matter what. And I think that's like a key that everybody needs to remember.
Yes. And I remember my mom telling me this before she passed away, and when I had just had our first child, I was so nervous because I was the girl. I never babysit, you know, so I didn't have all those accolades like, oh, you know, I've kept kids before. No, brand new. And so didn't know what I was doing. And I remember her saying, she was like, you're going to be the best mom that she's ever had because she has no comparison. And so it's very similar to what you said. You're going to be the best mom for her. And she said, God will give you what you need to do. Like you have the mother instinct. You just don't even know it yet. And I'm like, I don't think I do. She was like, you do. And she was right. You know? And so, you know, your child, you know, even now, I'm sure any of us, we could all be together with all of our children and, you know, your baby's cry, you know, your child's voice, and you'll say, that's Logan. Hold on. I'll be right back. You know, because you birthed them. And so I love that piece of advice, Shamir, and what you said, Nicole, as well. Anybody else want to share any mistakes or thoughts around that topic?
No, I would echo Shamir of the fact of setting unrealistic expectations and thinking that perfection is the answer when you're just striving to do your best in what area. One area is going to suffer it sometimes, just period, because you can't do it all. You know, balance is not really balance. You know what I mean? It's more like integration, right? You're integrating all of these different things together. And so I think one of the big mistakes is that, like, similar to Shamir, like, I had to do some self-check. I'm very in tune to who I am, and I've always been very sure of that. And when I started feeling like I was losing it, in a sense, like, I don't know if I'm coming or going. And then dealing with COVID, and I'll say this year, one of the words that I give myself is grace, right? And so because we're dealing with a double pandemic, right? We're dealing with racial injustice, we're dealing with COVID, and we're trying to balance everything. Mm-hmm. So when I find myself like maybe not doing as well in something, whether that's being a mom or my work or something, I give myself grace. And so what I would encourage every single woman that's listening, or even fathers that are listening, or men, is that we have to give ourselves grace, no matter if you're single, got kids or not. During this time, we are trying to manage a lot, and we are going through a lot. This is something we've never experienced in our lives. no one alive has ever experienced anything like this
right.
We have in this year. And so I just want to tell you that one thing I do is I give myself grace, and I always try to do things that bring me joy when I feel like I am kind of sad or not feeling like my best. And so for me, one of the things that gives me joy is listening to R&B music or listening to me some Anita Baker and dancing. And so I was talking to my brother like on Monday, and I was mad about something. I was just going in. And he was like, "Have you in touch with your creativity lately?" I'm like, "I'm not a creative." He said, "Kristen, yes, you are. Have you danced?" I was like, "No." He said, "You know, you love dancing around your house. You tonight put some music on and you dance around, okay?" And I did that, and my energy shifted this week. So whatever brings you joy, whatever brings you happiness, do that as much as you can when you feel yourself in those moments where you feel like you're losing who you are or you're kind of just down. Think about the things that bring you joy outside of your spouse and your child.
So. Very good. Absolutely.
Kristen, can we get that playlist?
Yeah, can you share that?
I got you. Seriously.
Right. And send us some videos of you dancing. They'll shift my.
I got a mix of them, so that my girls can see those videos.
Absolutely. And so you brought up a good segue point, Kristen, in terms of, you know, finding things that bring you joy. And so I want to talk about solutions, because we've talked about, you know, the difference between then versus now. We've talked about how we thought it was going to be, and we've talked about mommy guilt. And so now I want to, you know, hear some real life examples. How do you guys balance it all? Balance, you know, being, you know, a myth, but you know what I mean? How do you integrate it? So how do you maintain your career and maintain motherhood? And so I'll just start with some things that worked for me. And again, I wasn't this smart when I first had my children. And so for me, it came a little bit later after talking to people and, you know, giving myself grace. And so one of the things that really worked for me is to get help, especially at the height of my career when I was in the executive roles. I literally could not manage it all. Like Shamir, you're talking about how you and your husband talking about, we can do it logistically. I couldn't even do it logistically anymore. It was too much. And so for me, getting help meant getting someone to clean my house. It meant we hired someone to pick up our kids from school. So by the time we did this, my kids were probably, maybe 10 and 14, somewhere along in there. So they weren't babies. So they were old enough to, you know, say, "Ooh, she hit me," or something like that. Something was, so I wasn't concerned about them being so small. But we hired someone, and she would actually pick up my kids from school and then take them to their activities, right? And so it was much easier for me to rush out of the office at 5 than it was at 2:30 to be able to pick them up at 3. And so just that little tweak, she would pick them up from school at 3, take them to piano, take them to whatever after school activity, and then I would be there before the activity ended. So that's kind of how we played it. So she would get there and get them a snack, get them there. And by the time the piano teacher comes out, mommy is there. And so the piano teacher sees mommy, you know, and tells me how well they did or, you know, what they need to work on. And then I take the kids and we go on to happily ever after. That we did that for 2 to 3 years, and that saved me a ton. Just that tweak in my schedule, leaving at 4 versus 2:30, made a huge difference. And I was still able to participate and see games and see events just because I wasn't the one to take you. I was still there. And so that's just one. I have many more, but I'd love to hear from some of you guys about just practical things that you're doing or have done to kind of make it all work together.
Yeah, I definitely think asking for help is key, right? I'd mentioned a little earlier, I could not do what I do in my role, especially because I'm building a diversity and inclusion program from the ground up at a major health system, without the help of my mother-in-law. Right? Like as challenging as it can be to live with your mother-in-law. So all of you listening, it is also a blessing because I know he's well taken care of. He's loved. He's getting exercise. He's thriving for being a 2-year-old. I can't believe I can have like a conversation with my 2-year-old. And I credit her a lot of that because she's his caregiver during the day and she makes us dinner at night, which is a huge plus.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yes. It's lovely. Yes. I love to cook during the week. I don't have time to do that. So I think that's a big one. But I also think being comfortable in the concept of recalibrating, right? So I've mentioned many times boundaries are important. I put that stuff on my calendar and I look at my week and I kind of recalibrate with my team and my husband to kind of let them know, like, here, I had 2 weeks ago, I was in the office every day. We had presentations, I had trainings, I had a board presentation. It was crazy. But like this week, I'm home, right? So really looking at your schedule and trying to recalibrate expectations, but also finding those moments that you can have joy so you can go dance around. For us, we love to hike and that's our balance. So we live in California, there's great hiking, we have great weather. So every weekend we're out. And when I'm starting to feel kind of down or get grouchy, my husband's like, all right, we're all going hiking in the morning. So I'm thankful for him also to realize that we need to recalibrate. And he's starting to see where he has to pick up some of the tasks of our household operations when my schedule gets busy, but we're working on our communication that helps us to recalibrate too. And that's huge.
Absolutely. Great suggestions, great tips. What about you, Kristen?
Yes, I would echo Nicole of, again, everyone saying utilizing the resources that you have available. We are getting some work done and then I am getting someone to clean my house because it's just too much. It's too much trying to do that. Sometimes my mom would come help me every now and then, but I just like, I'm just going to have a service and implement that. So thank you, Barbara, for that reminder. And then I meal prep, but then you know what? Some days we eat out. It's like, listen, I don't feel like cooking. Let's just go eat. Because my husband currently works nights. So me and Logan, I'm like, okay, let's just go grab some Chick-fil-A to go. And I'm not guilty about it. If he doesn't have, or sometimes he'll have McDonald's and I'm not bad about it. He ain't.
Absolutely.
And then one of the other things too, is I am very intentional about the time me and my husband get together. And so like we haven't had a date night in a while. My mom's good at that too. I'm very, very fortunate to have my mother who will check me and be like, y'all need a date night. And she'll remind me, do not nag. While you're on this date, do not complain. She'll send me a text like, no nagging.
Thanks, Mom. Well,
thanks, Mom, for the reminder. Because I was maybe I was going to complain about something, but no, enjoy the moment that you have with each other. And so I think having that, and then we have a couple too that we kind of can talk to about parenthood and just talk about some of the struggles we're having as parents and just married life. And so I think having a tribe that kind of supports you, whether that's couples, friends that can understand other mothers helping them. That's been a great resource for me too, is having a safe space where I can, talk about things or talk about things where I'm struggling with and maybe seek advice. That's really helped. And I think it's just, at the end of the day, I have to have a calendar. If it's not on the calendar, it will not happen. One of my boundaries that I have is that I've been doing a lot of speaking engagements lately and that I won't do more than one a week. And I won't do more than two a month. Because again, I have to prepare for that. And that's taking time in the evening normally, which is taking time away from my son. And so again, going back to those boundaries, that's an example of a boundary that I set for myself. And then I don't do work on weekends, another boundary. So those are some things that have helped me in not feeling overwhelmed. Because like I said, I work in corporate America, but I also have a business that's thriving. So I have to be mindful of how I'm managing that. So my calendar, if it's not on my phone and if it's not going to happen. So
it's not real. If it's not on my calendar, it doesn't even exist.
What? It's like, what? Did we talk about that? Cause
it's not there. It's not real. It's fake. It's fake news. What about you, Shamir?
I heard that, one of the things that, that I hear when I hear calendar with Nicole mentioning it, and Kristen mentioning it, is communication. And that's something that I was also thinking is communicating with the team, obviously, communicating with the family. We also communicate with the kids. Like, if plans change, we make sure that we communicate it so that it doesn't become this meltdown / sorry, we can't get there on time, because they do, they can blow up, they can explode a calendar. So the communication piece is so important because I think, as moms, we have these logistics and this schedule and we have to get and as long as this happens and this can happen, but being able to be fluid and just knowing that as long as we communicate about it, everything's going to be fine. And then to that point, like embracing therapy, like therapy with the girls, awesome. Therapy with the therapist, awesome. No more taboo about mental health, you know, management, because I mean, if anything, this year has taught us that we all need it.
Absolutely.
Surprise, now we all need it. So we're all in the same boat. So I think that when we talk about, you know, asking for help, relying on the professionals who can really help us to take care of ourselves. And then as we talk about grace, which has been my favorite word of the year as well, grace to ourselves, but also grace to others. Like, we know what it's like. So, like, there's other mothers, and some of them are single mothers. There's other parents. Some of them are single. So just knowing, like, I had a situation, and it was an oversight that I think one of our colleagues had made, where we had a single mother in a room full of parents talking, and their situation wasn't really accounted for. And, you know, sometimes we do have to be that voice and say, don't forget about this person who, you know, it's hard for us, but we've got a spouse to, like, pass the baby off to and run to go to the restroom, but she doesn't.
Absolutely.
So let's continue to, you know, show grace to ourselves, but also to the people who we work with and who we spend time with in our community.
I think that's absolutely wonderful. I mean, I was raised by a single mother, so, and she had 5 kids. How she did it, I have no idea. I have 2 and a husband, and I'm like exhausted mentally lots of the time. So as we end, I want to kind of just go around the room, and I want you to give everybody who's listening a piece of your advice. If there's just one thing that you can share. And one thing that I wanted to share that also piggybacks off the last question in terms of just practical suggestions, and this will be my tip, is that as your kids are getting older, especially those who have young kids, don't train your kids to be so dependent on you that you don't train them for life, right? And so one of the suggestions for me, even piggyback off the second question, is at an early age, I started to train my kids to do things for themselves, and that helped me. And so every time I give this example, people are like, you did what? And I'm like, yeah, my kids, they will tell you, if they were on camera, they have been doing their laundry since they were age 6. And I'm like, how can they not? I mean, they know their colors. They can follow instructions. They can do their laundry. And to this day, every single Sunday, they go in there and do their own. I have not done their laundry since they were age 6, period. I do mine and my husband's, and that's it. And I don't even do his anymore. Now that we have moved, he started doing his own laundry, and I didn't stop him. I'm like, because we have separate closets. We didn't have separate closets before. Now we have separate closets. He does his own. I'm like, power to you, my king. Yes, awesome. So don't. And a lot of times we do that because of the mommy guilt. We're like, oh, they need, you know, you want to be needed. And because you feel like you haven't been there, oh, I'll cook it and I'll do it. And it has its place. But as your kids start to get older, don't make it where your guilt makes them so dependent and they don't know how to live for themselves, right? I've met people who go to college and have never done laundry. That is ridiculous. That is crazy, you know? So that's my piece of advice for mothers. If you have young kids, and as your kids are getting older, and no matter what stage you're in, always remember, as a mother, you are training them to one day not be in your house and to live, you know? So I have a daughter going to college. So this is very present for me right now, because I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what have I not taught her? What does she not know? And that's a scary feeling, because I'm like, what can I dump in her in the next 6 months? Right. And so that would be my piece of advice. So I'll let you guys kind of go around the room and share one piece of advice for any mother that may be listening.
I can go. This is Kristen. I would say that I talked about this a little earlier, but self-care. I always say that if you don't take care of you, you are not going to be good for no one else because you're not taking care of you. So sometimes one of the things I do is once a quarter, I take, it's called a self-care day. And so I take off of work, and on that day, it does not mean I'm running errands for anyone. It is whatever I want to do. If I want to read a book, if I want to go get my nails done, if I just want to lay around the house, but it's a day for me to reset and refuel once a quarter. And so anyone that's reported into me, I had them implement that into them. There's 4 days 4 days. So it's your personal self-care day. So I just wanted to just share with you all to make sure you take care of yourself, whether that's therapy that helps you once a week or once a month, whether that's you just kind of unwinding with a glass of wine, with a mask on and listening to soothing music, whatever self-care looks like for you, do not forget that step, because often we pour it as mothers and as wives and as women, we pour into everyone else, but we don't take care of ourselves. And so I want to remind you to make sure you take care of you.
Awesome advice. Absolutely. Who's next?
I would have to say, one of the biggest lessons that I have learned is to be clear about what your actual capacity is as a human. And that just goes back to what I was saying about wanting to be 100% like on for work and on for as a wife and on as a mother. And as you compartmentalize and prioritize, you know, motherhood with your other roles, understand that it's okay that you cannot give 100% to all of these things. Just be clear about what your capacity is as a human and be honest, because that's the only way that you're going to really be able to pour into others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Nicole.
Yeah, I would say, echo both of your comments, all three of your comments, really. Barbara, I wrote that down as I still have little ones and a brand new little one coming in a couple months. I would say the big thing for me, and I said it earlier, is you are a perfect parent for your child. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so important to remember, whether you're a single parent, you have a partner or a spouse, and you're figuring this out together, because they don't know anything else. And if that child is happy and feels loved and you can create that environment in your household, like when my husband and I are hugging and our kid comes up to us and says, "Oh, we're a family and we're great," I'm like, we're doing something right. Right. So I try to remember that part, and also be comfortable with the ongoing battle of mom guilt. It's okay. It's part of it. As we're talking, I remember when I, our pediatrician, I think probably at his 1 year appointment, you know, she's like, "What was his first word?" And I was like, "You know what? I don't know. I was starting a new job. I'd moved. I don't know. He talks a lot now. So whatever." And she kind of looked at me and then she was like, "Because I work with you, I get it. But other moms, you know, I want to just stress that it's okay. Like, I have no clue what my son's first word was. But you know what? I can have a whole conversation with him now. And he's
used to mommy.
And I feel like I'm doing a good job and an awesome mom." So I think know that mom guilt is real and be comfortable and kind of lean into the tension of it, because it's part of this journey. But, you know, also remember, you in that guilt, you are the best parent that your kid has.
Awesome. Well, ladies, thank you so much. My heart is full. This is a great ending to my day, to my week. Thank you guys so much. You've shared amazing, amazing advice and wisdom. And to the listeners, this is what I will say, is that I hope that by listening to this, you know that you are not alone. You know that there are other people who feel the exact same way, because that's sometimes one of the tricks, is that we feel like we're the only ones that feel that way. You're not alone. And as I end this podcast, I want to just say you are amazing. I don't have to know how many children you have. I don't have to know what your situation is, but I do know that if you're trying to mother a child in this world and you're working, you are amazing. So with that, I'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Career Connections. You can find us at www.careerpathwaysconsulting.com or on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter under Career Pathways Consulting. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, don't be satisfied with the status quo in your career and life. Expect greater, because life is too short to do anything different. See you next time.